chapter 1. Let's look together at verse 1. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." Jump down to verse 10. "He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, and his own did not receive him. Yet to all who receive him, who believe on his name, he gives the power to become the sons of God." Look at verse 14. "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only sent from the Father with grace and truth." Let's pray. Holy Spirit, come reveal Jesus to us. Holy Spirit, breathe life among us. The letter kills, but the words that you give are spirit and life. Let us receive living words this morning. If your heart agrees with that, just say amen and amen. This morning, I want to invite you to join me on a journey of discovery in 2011. We're going to gaze into the Gospels for a while, and we're going to fix our eyes on Jesus. We're going to look at who Jesus is. We're going to look at the words of Jesus, the works of Jesus. We're going to talk about the wounds of Jesus and the way of Jesus. Since we're his followers, let's immerse our spirits. Let's immerse our minds and our hearts with everything that the Gospels have to say about him. And my prayer is that each one of us will discover Jesus in a new way. I pray that many people will discover Jesus for the very first time as Savior and Lord. In your bulletin, there's a postcard. It says, "Discovering Jesus." And the reason we put this in your bulletin was so that you could take this and you could use it as an invitation to ask someone to come with you to church and to hear about Jesus. And this is what I want to ask you to do with this. I want to ask you to take it home and to pray over it and to ask the Holy Spirit to show you a face or give you a name of someone that you need to pass this to. How many of you know that before we ever come to salvation, the Holy Spirit is already working away on us? And there are people in your life that you work with, your family members, that the Holy Spirit's already working on. And I want to tell you, some of the crustiest and hardest ones are some of the first ones to go. I want you to take this home and pray over it and say, "Lord, show me a face, give me a name." And then I want you to take this card and you can write on the back of it the time of a service, 5:30 on Saturday afternoon or 8:30 on Sunday morning or 10 o'clock or 11:30. Actually, look around for a minute. There's hardly any empty seats in here, so it's hard to invite too many more people to this service, but there's room in some of the other services. But I want you to pass this to them, write a service time on it and pass it to them and invite them to come to church and believe that the grace of God is going to attach itself to this card the way it did to handkerchiefs in the New Testament, and that they're going to say yes. My prayer is that some people will discover Jesus for the very first time as Savior and Lord, that some people will receive a revelation of who Jesus is that will bring a transformation in their lives. And my prayer for others of us is that Jesus will grow bigger and bigger. A couple of weeks ago, they released the third movie in the Chronicles of Narnia series by C.S. Lewis. In that series, Jesus is represented by Aslan, the lion. And in the book, Prince Caspian, little Lucy makes a discovery as she looks at Aslan one day. Aslan said, "Lucy, you're bigger." "That is because you're older, little one," he answered. "Not because you are?" "I am not. But every year you grow, you will find me bigger." And every time Lucy looks at Aslan, she sees him a little bigger. Beloved, our spiritual growth is correlated to the size of our vision of Jesus. And so my prayer is that we will grow spiritually in 2011 as our vision of Jesus expands. Our first area of discovery is, who is Jesus? In the Gospels, Jesus is alone with the disciples one day. And he asks them, who do men say that I am? And the disciples answer him. Some people say you are John the Baptist, come back to life again. Some say that you are Elijah, come again, or Jeremiah, or another prophet. Truth is, people were saying a lot more than that about Jesus. Some people were saying he was a teacher. Some people were saying he was a sorcerer. Some people were saying he was a blasphemer. Some people were saying he was a renegade. Some people were saying he was the bastard son of a Nazarene carpenter. Then Jesus asks them, but who do you say that I am? And that is the ultimate question that each one of us must answer during this life. Who is Jesus? The answer to that question is the key to an abundant life on this earth. The answer to that question is the key to eternal life. One day, every one of us will stand before God, and our eternal destiny will be determined on the basis of how we answered that ultimate question during life. Who do you say that I am? The Bible says that one day everyone will know the real answer. One day there will come a moment when every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. One day Osama bin Laden will bow his knee before the King of Heaven and he will confess with his mouth, Jesus Christ is Lord. One day Mahmoud Ahmadinejad will bow his knee before him who sits on the throne of David, and he will confess with his lips, Jesus Christ is Lord. Hugo Chavez and Kim Jong-il. One day the gurus in India, the priests in Asia, one day the witch doctors in Africa will bow their knees and they'll say, Jesus Christ is Lord. One day the stars in Hollywood and the politicians and the pundits in Washington, D.C. will bow their knees and say, Jesus Christ is Lord. But then it'll be too late to be convinced. Then our window to answer that critical question will be closed. Many have already decided to outright reject him. We know that. But many others remain undecided. And many remain indifferent about reaching a conclusion to life's ultimate question. But listen, look at me. The decision not to make a decision about Jesus is a decision. The decision not to receive him, the decision not to believe on his name, is the decision ultimately to reject him for all of eternity. Peter speaks up. And he makes his famous confession of faith. You are the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Jesus says, you're blessed, Peter, because man didn't reveal this to you, but my Father in heaven. Now the question is out there in front of you this morning. Who do you say that I am? Who is Jesus? And my prayer is that you'll shut out the voices of men. Some men say he was a Jewish teacher. Some men say he was a great moral philosopher. Some men say he was a prophet or a faith healer. Some men say he was a social reformer. Some men say he was the leader of a political movement. Some men say he was a rabble rouser. Some men say he was just an ordinary guy whose legend became bigger than his actual life. Some men say he's one among many possible objects of faith. but who do you say that he is? My prayer is that as we look at the Word of God together, you will not receive information. How many of you know we don't need any more information? My prayer is that you will receive a revelation in your heart about who Jesus is. I pray that your heart will believe. I pray that your knee will bow. I pray that your tongue will confess Jesus is Lord. Who do you say that I am? There's no better place to begin our journey of discovery than the opening lines of the Gospel of John. These are some of the most powerfully poetic lines in the entire Bible. Some Bible scholars believe that the opening verses of John were actually the lyrics to a hymn of the early church. And they're loaded with revelation about who Jesus is. The first thing that they reveal is that Jesus is the Logos, the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word, the Logos, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Who is this Logos? Who is this Word of God, this Jesus? For about 2 years or more, I've been working on a sermon idea called Things Too Wonderful. It's about spiritual truths that really exceed the finite limits of our human minds. There are things that are really, honestly, beyond the ability to fully grasp. Some of these truths that are too wonderful, one of them is eternity. That God always was. That he lives outside the confines of time and space as we know it. If you think about that for too long, it'll cook you. Another one of these truths that are too wonderful is the Trinity. That God exists in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that are distinct from one another but inextricably bound together in a unity we call the Godhead. Another one of these truths that are too wonderful is the incarnation. That God put on human flesh, that he subjected himself to the limitations of human existence. These are three truths that are really too wonderful, and all three of these truths, along with the deity of Jesus Christ, are right here together in one place in the opening verses of the Gospel of John. The content of these verses is the heart of the Christian faith. And there are five critical things that these verses reveal about Jesus, the Logos. And I want to share them quickly with you this morning. And by quickly, I mean settle in. You're going to be here a while. Five critical things that these verses reveal about Jesus. Here's the first one. These verses reveal, first of all, that Jesus, the Logos, is eternally pre-existent. John says, in the beginning was the Word. That Greek verb for was is in a continuous tense. It means continuous being. One guy expressed it this way. It means Jesus always wasig. So the meaning of this opening line is before the beginning began, Jesus already was. Before time began, Jesus was. Before the universe was made, Jesus was. Before the world was created, Jesus was. Before God formed man out of the dust of the earth and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life and he became a living soul, Jesus was. Before the start of human history, Jesus was. By the way, I have no problem at all with the Big Bang Theory. Big Bang Theory is right in the Bible in Genesis 1:1. God said, let there be light. Bang! So you can keep adding billions of years to your story. But if you remove God from the equation, you are still at a complete loss to explain origins. Life was created when electrical charges passed through a primordial soup of elements and minerals. Oh, yeah? Where'd the primordial soup come from? Sounds like a bad soup of the day at a diner. Where'd it come from? Where did the electrical charges come from? John 1:3 tells us where it all came from. It came from Jesus, the Logos. Through him, all things came into being. Nothing was made without him. Some of the punch, actually, of these opening verses is lost a little bit in translation. In Greek, John makes very deliberate changes in his verbs to make a point. In verse 1, he says, the word always was, continuously being. It was always wasing. But he changes verbs in verse 3 to talk about the things that are made that came into being. So what John is saying is he was always here, but time was not always here. He was always here, but the universe was not always here. He was always here, but the world was not always here. He was always here, but we were not always here. So with these words, John is telling us that Jesus is eternal. He had no beginning, he always was, and he has no end, he shall always be. John is also very clearly telling us with these words that Jesus is not himself a created being. Listen to me. Jesus is not an angel. Jesus is not even his own class of created being. Jesus was not created by the Father. He was always with the Father. An erroneous view of Jesus is that he was the first being God created, and then Jesus created everything else. This is the teaching of the Jehovah's Witnesses and some others, but it's not what the Bible says. The Bible says he always was, and he created everything that is. John's also telling us with these words that we, on the other hand, are created beings created by him. In the beginning was the Word. John's very first words speak of eternity, and then his next few words speak of the Trinity. The Word was with God. The second critical revelation about Jesus is this: Jesus, the Logos, is distinct from the Father and bound in intimate fellowship with him. The Word was with God means that he was alongside of God. Again, the verb tense is continuous. He was always alongside God. There was never a time that he didn't exist alongside of God. The words in Greek literally mean he was face to face with God. The meaning of that expression is two things moving towards each other. Strangers in the night. It's an expression of intimacy. So these words tell us some vital things about the nature of the Trinity. For one thing, they tell us that God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit exist eternally distinct from one another. They are three distinct persons that comprise the Godhead. This is an important point in Christian faith. Jesus and the Holy Spirit are not emanations from God. They are distinct persons that comprise the Godhead. Jesus and the Holy Spirit are not alternating expressions of God. They have distinct traits of personality and distinctive roles. We see this in the creation account. We see this in the baptism of Jesus. Jesus is standing in the water, and the Holy Spirit descends visibly in the form of a dove out of heaven, and a voice audibly speaks from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son. In him I am well pleased." Three distinct entities of the Godhead at work in one moment. Another thing these words tell us, the Word was with God. Another thing they tell us about the Trinity is that the three persons of the Godhead are in intimate fellowship with one another. This is something Jesus talks a lot about in the Gospel of John. I am in the Father, and the Father is in me, and we have fellowship with one another. And Jesus says, if we receive him, then we get welcomed into that fellowship too. This gives us something neat to think about for a minute. God didn't, look at me, God did not create man for fellowship. God had no need for fellowship. He had fellowship with himself. God was already perfect and complete in himself. He had no need for fellowship. God did not create man for fellowship. God created man to glorify him. God created man for his pleasure and to be the object of his love. That's our purpose. That's our primary purpose. And when we stick with our primary purpose, we function best. My father-in-law has this old kitchen knife that he takes with him wherever he goes. It's an old butcher's knife. He's had it for about 40 years. My father-in-law grew up on a farm, which means, number one, he never throws anything away. Number two, he knows how to take care of things well so they last forever. And number three, he can sharpen a knife until it's like a razor. And so when he comes for the holidays, he always brings his butcher's knife with him because the knives in our house can't cut through warm butter. And that knife cuts like no other knife I have ever used before. But I noticed one day that the tip is broken. In fact, not only just the tip is broken, it's almost broken completely in half. It's one of those big psycho special butcher knives, and it's almost broken in half. And I said, "Dad, what happened to your knife?" He said, "Oh, well, you know," he said, "I used to use this knife for everything. I used to use it to pry things open. I used to use it as a screwdriver. I used to use it to open packages." And he said, "I kept using it, and so I finally broke it." See, the knife works beautifully when it's used as a knife, but doesn't work so well when it's used as a crowbar. That's the same as you and me. We were created to give God glory. We were created to worship him. We were created to glorify him by giving full expression to the image of God that is inside of us. When I create, I glorify God. When I do whatever it is I do with excellence, I give glory to God. The movie Chariots of Fire tells the story of Olympic medalist and Christian missionary Eric Little. One of the great lines in the story is when Eric Little tells his Jewish friend, "I believe God made me for a purpose, and he also made me fast. And when I run, I feel his pleasure." We were made to give God glory. And we were made to be the objects of his love. We were made to receive his love and to reciprocate his love back to him and to let his love run over out of our lives. That is our primary purpose. And just like Dad's old kitchen knife, we function best when we are used for our primary purpose. But we become broken when we apply ourselves to uses we were never made for. If you've experienced some brokenness in your life, maybe it's because you were misusing your life or someone misused you. Maybe the energy of your life, the gifts, the talents that God has given you were going to things that were askew of the purpose God made you for. If you want to function the best that you can in life, become a worshiper of God, become a recipient and a reciprocator of his love. Here's the awesome thing about Dad's old kitchen knife. The shape has changed a little bit, but once he stopped using it for a crowbar, it stopped breaking. And it's still very valuable to him. And it's still very useful. The same thing is true for you and me. We might have gotten broken a little bit, but when we stop misusing our life, we're still just as valuable as ever and as useful as ever. The Word was with God in revealing something vitally important about who Jesus is. It also reveals something vitally important about who we are. In the beginning was the Word, eternity, and the Word was with God, Trinity, and the Word was God, the deity of Jesus Christ. The third revelation about Jesus in these lines is that Jesus, the Logos, is God. Now, in stating that Jesus was always face to face with God, John has already implied equality. But just in case there's any room for doubt, John makes here an explicit statement of the deity of Jesus Christ. The Word was God. Before the beginning began, He has always been God. There are some important truths here about Jesus. First of all, it doesn't say that Jesus is merely the reflection of God or the image of God. He is God. And it doesn't say He became God at some point. It says He has always been God. There's some false teaching about Jesus that says He was a man who became God. But that's not what the Bible says. John says from eternity past, He has always been God. Jesus says in John 8:58, I tell you the truth, before Abraham was made, I am. Neither does it say here that Jesus is a God. It says He is God, the one true God of the Bible. Because He is God and the creator of the universe and everything in it, it means He is the one true God for all men. Look at me. Jesus is not God of the Western world alone. While Buddha is God of the East, and Vishnu and Shiva are gods of the Southeast, and Allah is the God of the Middle East, Jesus is God of every man. He's God of the North and the South and the East and the West. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The kingdoms of this world have now become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ. And that's one strategic reason why John used the title Logos here. You know, it's kind of interesting, but actually, it's only in the writings of John that Jesus is given this title, the Word, the Logos, here in John 1 and again in Revelation 19. There are some other shady references in Luke and in Hebrew to this title for Jesus, but it's only in John. Logos meant one thing to the Greek people that John pastored in the city of Ephesus. And the Logos meant something else to the Jewish people from whom the Messiah came. In Jesus' day, there were translations of the Hebrew scriptures into Aramaic, the common language of the day. And because the name of God was so sacred among the Jewish people that it was never spoken or written in those Aramaic translations of the Old Testament, everywhere the name of God appeared, they would substitute it for the Word. And so Logos meant something to the Greeks and it meant something else to the Jews. And under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, John takes that word and he gives it a whole new meaning to communicate to both Jews and Greeks that Jesus is God of all and for all. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Eternity, the Trinity, the deity of Jesus Christ. And finally, the incarnation. John 1:14. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That's the fourth revelation about Jesus in these verses. Jesus, the Logos, has changed His status. John has already told us, using Greek verbs with the continuous tense, he's already told us that before the beginning, Jesus always was. But now in John 1:14, he employs a different verb to denote a change in status. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. It's the same verb in John 1:3 that talks about the created things coming into being. So what John is saying, He who always was before the beginning of time has now been made to become flesh. In Greek, the words literally mean He pitched His tent among us. Think about it. The great God of the universe subjected Himself to the weakness of human flesh. The voice that spoke and caused the galaxies to come into existence. The voice that spoke and caused the planets to appear and to rotate in that orbit. That voice was now limited to the strength of a human voice. So that He had to find a natural amphitheater just to be heard in a crowd. God, who could traverse the entire universe in a nanosecond, was now limited to the distance that a pair of human feet could travel in a single day. The Word became flesh. He pitched His tent among us. Who do people say that I am? Some people say Jesus was a man that became God, either in reality or simply in the wild imaginations of His followers. But who do you say that I am? John is saying He is God, who at a strategic moment in history became a man. Jesus was not merely a man. He was a God-man. Paul wrote in Colossians, "In Christ, all the fullness of the Godhead lives in bodily form." Because Jesus was not merely a man, His words are not merely the words of men. They are the Logos, the Word of God. Along this journey, we're going to spend some time in the Gospels listening to the words of Jesus. His words are more than just inspiration. His words are just more than words that give lofty goals and noble aspirations. His words are more than just wise counsel. Look at me. His words are more than just suggestions. His words are the words of God that give life, that quicken the dead in spirit, that enlighten the dark in understanding, and that give eternal life. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only, sent from the Father with grace and truth. Eternity, the Trinity, the deity of Christ, and the incarnation. Five revelations of Jesus. He's eternally preexistent. He's distinct from the Father and intimately bound in relationship with Him. He is God. He's the one who changed His status. And finally, this last thing. Jesus, the Logos, is the only one of His kind. In the history of the world, nay, in the history of the entire universe, there has never been another like Him. There is no other Son of God like Him. There is no other Savior like Him. There is no one else like Jesus. There has never been another conception like His conception. The Spirit of God overshadowed a virgin named Mary, and she became pregnant with the Son of God. That has only ever happened once in the history of the world, and it will never happen again. It was a one-shot deal. So it will not fly as an explanation for a pregnancy that needs explaining. Mary was the only one who could get away with that one, so don't you try it. There's no other spiritual leader. There's no other prophet. There's no other supposed Savior that can make that same claim. Not even Mary, the earthly mother of Jesus. He is the only one, the one and only God-man born of a virgin. There's no one else like Him. There's never been another birth like His birth. He's the only one whose birth and life and death and resurrection fulfilled more than 365 prophecies that were given hundreds of years before He came. He's the only one whose birth was attested by the stars in the sky. He's the only one whose birth was celebrated by the angelic hosts of heaven. He is the only one whose birth stirred the heart of eastern kings and put terror in the heart of a paranoid Palestinian king. Jesus, the Word, became flesh and pitched His tent among us. He tabernacled with us, and we have seen the glory of this one and only Savior. What John is saying is that something definitive has happened in time. Something has happened in the world that has never happened before or since. A marker has been placed in human history. Something has happened that has changed the whole course of the world. There's no one else like Him. There's never been another life like His life. No one else has ever lived a life of sinless perfection like Him. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That means you, Jack. Oh, we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, but not Jesus. He was tempted in every way, just as we are, yet without sin. God made him to become sin for us who knew no sin, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Christ died for sins once and for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring us to God. The disobedience of the first Adam plunged the entire human race into the darkness of sin, but the obedience of the second Adam, Jesus, has saved many. There's no one else like Jesus. There's never been another death like his death. Never before or since has any Savior ever laid down his innocent life to take away the sins of the world. I am the good shepherd. I lay down my life for my sheep. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have the authority to lay it down, and I have the authority to take it up again. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, so that we might die to sin and live for righteousness. And by his wounds, you have been healed. Receive the word of the Lord. There's no one else like Jesus. Never before or since has anyone had the authority to give up his spirit at death the way he did. Never before or since has anyone had the love to say, Father, forgive them, like he did. Never before or since has anyone died on a cross with a sign over his head saying, this is Jesus, the King of the Jews. Never before or since has anyone endured the punching and the scourging and the crucifixion and the piercing that he did without a single bone being broken? Never before did the sky grow dark like it did the day he died. Never before did the earth shake like it did the day he died. Never before or since was the curtain in the temple that prohibited man access to God been torn in two from top to bottom like the day it did when he died. Never before or since did the tombs of holy people break open and their bodies rise again like it did when he died. There's no one else like Jesus. There has never been another resurrection like his resurrection. Never before or since has anyone had the authority to take his life up again. There is no other Savior who has left behind an empty tomb. He is not here. He is risen, just as he said. Never before or since has anyone triumphed over death and hell and the grave and made an open spectacle of the enemy like him. There's no one else like him. There's never been another ascension like his ascension. Wherefore, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. There has never been another baptizer in the Holy Spirit like him. There has never been another intercessor in heaven like him. There has been never been another people like his church. There has never been another glory like his glory. There has never been another power like his power. There has never been another Savior like Jesus, and there is no other name like his name. Get on your feet and give some glory to Jesus in this place. Hallelujah! 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 Jesus Christ, being in very nature God, did not have to grasp at equality with God, but he made himself nothing, taking on the very servant, nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. He humbled himself and became obedient to death, even to death on the cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and has given him a name above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Give God some glory in this place. Come on, church. give him some glory in this place. Come on, put your hands together and let's give glory. Worthy, 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 worthy is the Lamb of God. Worthy is Jesus, the Lamb of God. Come on, shout his name. Jesus! Jesus! There's no one else like him. There's no one else like him. Come on, lift up your voice. Sing Jesus, Lamb of God. Lift up Jesus in this place. Sing it again.
Jesus, oh Lamb of God, worthy is your name. Yes, Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy.
Come on, sing it one more time. Jesus, Lamb of God, lift up your voice, sing Jesus.
Yes, yes. Oh, Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy, worthy is your name. Oh, Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name.
Oh, come on, let's give him one more big praise in this place. Oh, come on. Shakarabaga, 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 shakarabaga,
we must be saved.
Shakarabaga, Jesus. Shakarabaga, Shiki. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, just say his name, Jesus. Come on, just say his name, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Shabara la ba shiti ara la 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 ba shiti ara la 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 ba shiti. Shabara la 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 ba shiki ara la 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 ba shiki. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. Who do men say that I am? Men say he's a teacher, a philosopher, a faith healer, one among many gods. Men say he's an ordinary man whose legend is bigger than his life. Men say he's an expletive. But God wants to know this morning, who do you say that I am? We're going to pray in just a minute, but I want you to bow your heads all over this place. And I wonder if there's someone here, you've never received Jesus as your Savior. You've never invited him to be your Lord. Some have outright rejected him, we know that. But others are undecided. And a decision not to make a decision is a decision. He came to his own and his own rejected him. But to those who did receive him, he gave power to become the sons of God. While heads are bowed all over this place, I wonder if you're here. You've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And you're ready to do that right now in this moment. It's just as easy as lifting a hand up high wherever you are. Just lifting up a hand high wherever you are. Thank you. Come on, I want to receive Jesus as my Lord and my Savior. Come on, lift up your hand to God if you're here and you need to invite him in today. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, is there someone else? Thank you, Jesus. Come on, is there somebody else? Lift up your hands. I need to receive Jesus today as my Lord and Savior. Lift up your hands wherever you are. Your heart's beating inside your chest like you can't believe that's you. Lift up your hand. Come on. Lift up your hand. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, I want everybody to lift up their hands all over this place, and we're going to help some people take that first step today. I'm going to lead us in a prayer, and I want to invite everybody to repeat after me. Let's help some people invite Jesus into their heart today. Come on, let's pray. Father, thank you for loving me. Father, thank you for sending your only Son. Jesus, I believe. I believe you are the Son of God. Jesus, thank you for the cross. Thank you for dying for me. Jesus, forgive my sins. Jesus, wash me. Cleanse me. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. Jesus, I invite you now to be my Lord and the leader of my life. In Jesus' name. Come on, let's give some praise to Jesus one more time in this place. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now, this is the way I want to end this service today. Something a little bit unusual for us, as if we could be any more unusual. But I want to invite, my prayer is that for all of us, that Jesus would get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. The way I felt in my heart to end this service was just to invite whoever would like to come to this altar and to kneel down. Just simply to bend your knee and to make your own confession that Jesus is Lord. So some of you might be a little difficult to kneel down. I find when I get on the floor with my kids, I don't get up so fast anymore. But if you're physically able and if your heart is willing, would you step right out of your seat and come right down here and come kneel at this altar? And we're just going to make a confession with our lips that Jesus is Lord. Come on, let's sing something while you come.
There is none like you. No one else can touch my heart like you do. And I could search for all eternity long and find there is none like you.
Oh, there is none like him. Sing it once more. There is none like you.
Oh, 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 there is none like you.
Oh, oh, oh,
no one else can touch my heart like you do. And I could search for all eternity long and find there is none like you.
Shabalala. Come on, just begin worshiping in church. Shabalala. Shatalala. Come on, say the name of Jesus. Just say the name of Jesus. The devil hates the name of Jesus because there's power in that name. Wherever the name of Jesus is spoken, he must go. He must flee. He must run away from you. Come on, say the name of Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Jesus is bigger than cancer. Jesus is bigger than depression. Jesus is bigger than anxiety. Jesus is bigger than worry. Jesus is bigger than insomnia. Jesus is bigger than anything the devil can throw at your life. Come on, say the name of Jesus. Shagarabaga shakaralala baga shiki aralala baga shiki. Thank you, Jesus.
Come on, I want you to just make that confession. Come on, Jesus is Lord. Come on, Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Make that confession personal. Jesus is my Lord. Come on, just begin to confess Him as Lord in every part of your life. Jesus is Lord in my marriage. Jesus is Lord. Come on, you do it. Jesus is Lord in my home. Jesus is Lord in my family. Jesus is Lord over my kids. Jesus is Lord over my body. Come on, just begin to confess Him as Lord. Jesus is Lord over my work and my career. He's Lord over every part. He's Lord at home and He's Lord on the street. He's Lord of all or He's not Lord at all. Come on, just confess Him as Lord everywhere and in everything. Father, right now in Jesus' name, Lord, by the Holy Spirit, give us a revelation of Jesus. God, I pray that Jesus would be bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger in our heart, in our vision, Lord. Shakara baga shakara. Come on, church, worship. Worship, worship, worship. Worship, worship, worship. Worthy, 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 worthy is the Lamb of God. Worthy, 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 worthy is the Lamb of God. Shambhala la bagara la la bagara la bagasakara la la bagasaka. Come on, if you have the gift of other tongues, minister to the Lord right now in your heavenly language. Come on, just begin to confess everything He is. Jesus, you're my healer. Jesus, you're my deliverer. Jesus, you're my rescuer. Come on, whatever it is you need, begin to confess that He is. I am that I am. Before Abraham was made, I am. Come on, He is everything you need. Begin to confess it. Begin to see Jesus bigger. He's your provider. He's your protector. He's your deliverer. He's your healer. He's your savior. He's your king. Shamande alabagasaka la 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 basiki. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. He is my daily bread. He is my light. He is my living water. He is my way. He is the truth in my life. Come on, Pastor Dan. Come on, sing it. He's King forever. Lift up your voice and sing it. Thank you, Jesus. See, something's happening in the presence of the Lord here. God's doing work right now. He's giving breakthroughs. Somebody's receiving a healing right now. Come on, lift up your hand to Jesus and just receive it. When He ascended on high, He led captivity captive and He gave gifts to men. Come on, He's passing out gifts right now. Just receive, just receive, just receive. He's healing marriages right now. He is our peace, who has broken down the middle wall that was between us, that wall of resentment that's built up, that wall of hostility, that wall of frustration and anger that's built up. Jesus, our peace, He's tearing it right down. Come on, if you're near your spouse, take their hand. He's tearing it right down. Shagala baga shiki. Shugara. He's healing ADD right now and ADHD right now.
Thank you, Jesus.
Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, O Lord. Thank you, O Lord. Jesus is here. Jesus is here. Holy Spirit's just given you a bigger revelation of who He is. See, when you really see Jesus, when you really see Him, He's so beautiful that nothing else even comes close to Him. When you really see Jesus, He's so awesome. You just don't want anything else. The Lord is my shepherd. I don't want anything else. Thank you, Lord. It's a little song we used to sing. It says, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. Let's just sing it.